This is RSBNB Update, episode 436, recorded Friday, October 25th, 2013. Algorithm, the new goal. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us, sharing your time with us on this episode of RSBNB Update. Just us two normal people here this week to talk about this ranged update.
Yo!
So, this week is the second part of the high-level ranged update that we saw a couple months back. This week was the armor portion of the update, entitled Serenic Armor. At least I think that's how one would pronounce that. Am I correct in assuming that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Serenic Armor is basically a three-piece set that you can craft at level, or rather you can wear at 90 ranged. Requires between 91 and 93 crafting. So, a nice high-level crafting update for those of you guys out there that do have crafting. Hi.
Yay!
Yes. So, were you able to come across any of these?
Oh, not even close. Right now, I'm trying to get 95 Slayers so I can kill the Ascension members so I have a better chance of getting the scales, but... You and I both tried Dark Beast and Aquanites, and it just wasn't happening.
Yeah. So, basically, in order to make these with the crafting skill, you need to go kill certain Slayer creatures. They list Aquanites, Spiritual Mages, and Dark Beasts, but also the Legions from the Order of Ascension dungeon. So, there is a reason to go down there now. So, with those being the primary way of getting them at level 95 Slayer, it's safe to assume that is what we would recommend for the minimum level if you're wanting to farm these scales, because I spent probably about 2 hours this week at the Aquanites and another 3 hours at the Dark Beasts, and I haven't come away with any scales yet. So let's just say that these are hard to acquire if you do not have level 95 Slayer. So just keep that in mind when going forward. And let's just talk about the sheer amount of these scales that you actually do need in order to make this armor. First off, the mask that requires 14 scales. Then the chaps,
that requires
28 scales. And then the hauberk requires a grand total of 42. So here we are. We're already up at 84 scales just for this set of armor. So, given the slow drop rate on these, this is something that you're going to have to accumulate over a larger period of time, unless you're actually looking to go out and find these things on the Grand Exchange. But even that has its own set of challenges. The Serenic Scales started at around 950,000. Right now, they're up at about 1.1 million on the Grand Exchange. So this is Grand Exchange value, which doesn't necessarily mean the real-world trading value that these are going for. I've heard rumors before of scales going all the way up to 5 mil per scale and higher. So these are something that are truly rare. And if somebody did manage to complete their entire set of armor on their own, it would be quite a feat. And if you were going to, if you had 95 Slayer and you wanted to go hunt these things, chances are the scales would be a good way of making some nice profit.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, you also need to get the golden strands from that guy. I can't remember the guy's name.
Yeah, the guy's name outside of the Order of Ascension. Oculus Virius is his name.
Yeah, so you actually need... Let me open up the tab here again. Each one of the threads costs about 500,000 coins,
and you need six.
And you
threads total.
Mm-hmm. Right, which means that's 6 mil. That's a money sink. Oh, sorry, It's been a long day. But, you know, one other thing that you have to also notice about the armor is that it is actually degradable.
Yes.
So it doesn't stay with you forever. So you do have to go
It
and
cannot
remake
be repaired.
You have to go remake the whole thing again, which basically makes this a freaking money sink for high level
Yeah, and
players.
I mean, I was reading one of our pre-articles that's not out yet for Informer about the game needing money sinks at a high level, and 6 mil in order, or 3 mil, oh geez, I did that now, just in order to make this is certainly that, plus if you wanted to top these up by purchasing them. So this is a money sink if you think about it, because you got the 3 mil that goes out of the game for each thing that's made in terms of threat, right? Then let's
And that's a
just
right
say
now.
you got all these scales
Yep.
going out at, oh, let's just say right now for the hell of it this week, 2 mil per scale. And I said, how many scales did we
We were
need
doing the
total?
math earlier, 84. We were doing the
Yeah,
math earlier in the
84.
week, and so we went. I went with the average price around 4 mil per scale.
Okay.
That comes out the total cost plus the threats was about
340 mil.
425 million. Yeah, well, you went for 2 mil, went for four, and so and each the whole set costs roughly 150 million to buy off the GE, roughly. So you basically, if you were to build everything and sell it, you would lose around 300 mil, depending on how much you sell the skills for, buy the
You
skills
built
for.
it and sold it, you would be losing it? Ah, yeah, that's right. You're right. You would be losing
Yeah,
that
so
much.
the whole thing costs roughly 150 mil, and well, you know, the whole thing costs at least 400 mil or 400 million GP so far. Of course, it will go down, but it will take a long time to go down. I need to get
And
95 Slayer,
plus,
Shane.
yeah, me too. And plus the thing, let's remember that this is also power armor. So there are certain places where you would use this. Like if you're not necessarily being a tank, you'd use this armor. Whereas if you weren't, you would just go with the I think it's the Death Lotus from the ports.
I never bothered with the Death Lotus one, but it's a that one's usually very tankish armor.
Yeah, that's
I
the
usually
ranged
go with
one,
full
right?
my yeah, I usually go with a full armor though, because that's what I have.
Yeah. So, but let's just go back to this, that given the GE price of this, money is being taken out of the game just by the mere fact of making this, because there are people out there who will buy these scales just because. So you buy this scale, you reward the person for fetching them, of course, but then that money that person invested into it goes out of the game because these things disappear. So the money attached to it is disappearing. If you catch my drift.
Let me see. So it lasts for around 60,000 hits before disintegrating
Yeah.
entirely. So don't know how much that's relatively not that long if you think about it. That's like what, a couple hours, give or take?
I don't know. I don't know how long 60,000 hits is, but it doesn't seem very long. And like a couple of places you can get a probably like 2, 3 hits per second, I guess. So,
Well, if you were to do the whole trap them behind a desk or something, that would probably make it last longer. But you know, I have roughly, depending on what armor I'm wearing, I have between 6,000 to 9,000 health. So pretty much, it's your life bar times six or seven.
yeah, that's true, actually.
But
Well, does
really, it
that
doesn't
mean
last
hits?
very long.
Damage done or the amount of hits that you take?
I
Because I took it the
Well,
amount
I
of times
assume.
you take a damage splat.
I say it had to be taking damage.
Yeah,
At
so the
least
amount
you,
of
like, you know,
times you take
see your life.
damage. Not necessarily your life points multiplied by 10 or whatever if you have 6,300. So, because that really wouldn't make sense. That wouldn't be enough.
Well,
I mean.
if you think about it, if you were getting hit, your armor's getting hit by it, your life points does go down. It's just kind of like using your, you know, mental math really quick to figure out how much you have left.
Yeah, I still think it's each time you see a hit splat on you that counts as a hit. That's what I would be thinking in this. Anyways, just before we wrap this up, the stats on this armor. The Chaps
Oh,
set
nice.
has a damage rating of plus 21, armor 479, and life points 1440. The Halberd, 30 damage bonus, 500 armor, 1920 life point boost, and the mask, 17 damage, 435 armor, and 960 life points. And all of these have a modest prayer bonus of 2 or 3.
So,
I mean, I would use this armor if I was doing ranged slayer. That's what jumps out at me.
Yeah, it's a very powerful, but, you know, with
or if you wanted to be a high DPSer while bossing.
Yeah, I think you were going bossing, you're not going to be in a tank. That's what would be great armor. You do more damage, more power. But I think for this to be truly worthwhile, they should add some more skills to range. I still think range is very... Yes. Has a very limited selection of skills.
Yeah, you mean you're referring to the actions you can use, right?
Yeah, yeah. The for your action bar, it's just not enough. I mean, you really have, let's see, about 15 skills, three of which are ultimates, and so you can, it's kind of pointless to have all three of those on your bar. I've never really got a...
One is two-handed and one is dual-wield, so you only really got one ultimate for each, based on what you're wearing.
So it's just
it's
just not enough.
This is something that I think will come in time, because let's remember that the clock was reset last year with the evolution of combat. We're looking at what appears to be a whole new version of combat as of last year, so we're still filling things out. Granted, the lower ones are just filled out, but let's remember that a week ago, we just got dark arrows for the dark bow.
Ooh, I like my dark bow. I actually like my dark bow now. Especially,
yeah, it's a level 70 bow. But there is something that there is one note of this while we're on the topic of ranged, is that the crystal bow is, in my view, the best level 70 bow because he doesn't need ammunition. So you don't need to worry about that.
Well, it does, after you use up all your shots, it does turn forever back to a seed. And
yeah, but you can recharge it.
Pay to recharge it back up. Yeah, but you know, technically that is considered the ammo portion of it.
Yep. All right. All right, so we pretty much covered everything on that. A little bit more on the combat track this week. The ultimate, or no, wait, oops. There was one thing I wanted to ask everyone, actually, before we move on to the ultimate abilities. I've set up a quick little poll here about the way this armor was released compared to whether you prefer it to be released like this through crafting it and getting the raw materials, or if you prefer to just have the armor drop for you. So I set up a little poll that you can find in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
Tweet poll.
Yeah. It's a quick little service for doing polls. It's pretty nice. It has a few caveats, but I'll tell you about that later. All right.
Okay.
So, ultimate ability rework. Some of the ultimates have been tweaked. So, first off, Meteor Strike and an Incendiary Shot give a new buff on the player when activated, granting 10% adrenaline for each critical hit dealt within the next 30 seconds. So this is a strength ability and a ranged ability, I believe. I think Meteor Strike is strength, if I remember correctly.
Meteor Strike is two-hander. It's a two-hander thing. It's first for attack.
Okay, attack. Alrighty then. So that's good. Nice little way of getting adrenaline. But I don't know. I always feel that adrenaline replenishes quickly when you're attacking. What do you think?
It replenishes when you're using the skills itself. So
yeah.
You need to have a good chunk of them just being the basic attacks. And try to charge it up, have one or two halfways and or threshold abilities, and then have the ultimate. There are a couple ways you can boost it up. One is, of course, leeching off of, if you have curses, to leech off to your opponent. Second way is actually, if you wear Ring of Vigor, it actually drains the less adrenaline if you use an ultimate, but it's very little. It's from Dungeoneering.
See, the thing is, I felt that adrenaline accumulates fast enough. It doesn't need any more boosts.
Yeah, so it's more of, think of it as a combination attack. Remember, I'm all for about doing very good combo attack with all your skills. So it's a way for them, you know, to get to threshold again really quick and do something majestic.
All right. All right, this next one's for you. Because you still have issues with it even after this.
What, the tweaks and fixes thing?
No, or Tsunami.
Oh, the Tsunami. Yes, where do I begin? I don't have issues with it. I think my little pet peeve with it is that you need a lot of space in order to use it. But also with that space, you also need to be basically at melee range to really to use the skill. So Tsunami imparts the same buff when used, also enjoy greatly increased minimum damage of 200% of auto-cast spell damage. Maximum damage stays at 300%. Dude, that's 300,000. That would be awesome. But I think the problem with it for me is that, like, you have to get into melee range, which kind of defeats the purpose of magic.
Yeah.
You know, there's three skills with magic. It's, Combust, you have Tsunami, You have Detonate, and the fire-breathing one, Dragon Breath. Those have to be more or less in melee range. It kind of defeats the purpose of magic. Magic is supposed to stay away from the enemy, stomp them, bind them, and do that all that happy stuff.
Yep.
It kind of, so in a sense, I kind of feel that it just doesn't, it's not as good as it could be.
Yeah, I've had Tsunami miss quite a bit too, so I'm definitely with you on that.
And one of the things is, if you're going to do something like this, you want an ability where you can drag the opponent back to you. That's what RS kind of missing. It's very it's a pulling skill. Remember when we were talking about like using staff, wands, and crossbows and do all that fancy stuff, which you and I still have an issue of trying to figure out how to do it properly.
Oh, I know how to I know how to do it. I can show you.
We have grappling hooks. It would be nice if I can have a range ability to grapple them, pull them to me, tell them to get over here, and do a whole tsunami on them, and then run away.
So basically what you want for magic to say is you want to bind them, then you want to teleport them close to you so that you can finish off with an offhand attack or something.
Well, I mean, if you have to get into melee range as a magician, you want to do as much damage as you can, because technically, you're very dangerous. You're most vulnerable when you're right next to your opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're fighting a ranger, that's a whole little different thing, but often magicians can have more power than most rangers anyway, depending on how you use the bar. But, it's just one of those things where it's like, you don't go up to a warrior and say, "Hi, I'm going to cast stuff on you now. Oh, you're trying to hit me? Let me take one step back." Look at Ice Barrage. You're always away from the opponent. You're never anywhere close to them.
Yeah.
You know, why bother freezing them in place if you're just going to get them face to face and they can still hit you? That's kind of useless.
All right. Next up, a couple of AoE abilities have been adjusted. First off, Death Swiftness and Sunshine have had the durations of their static area-based buff effects increased to 30 seconds. That's welcome, I think, because those ones before really didn't last long enough in my view. So I'm happy with that one. And next up, Sunshine was the one from Wild Gothic Sleeps where the sunbeam shines down on you. And
The magic one.
If you're inside of it, I think it deals less damage to you.
Boosts you up and hurts the enemy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a magic one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last one also is very interesting as well, because Pulverize had its damage range improved, now causes between 200 and 250% of damage, plus 30-second buff length, and it restores 50% adrenaline if it kills its target. So you definitely want to use Pulverize now.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So very nice change on that one.
That's 200. But let's see what I used to use before. I used to use Overpower because that was the only thing that was actually kind of decent and didn't kill everyone around me. Yeah, Meteor Shower wasn't as great. Only use one target, over 50% life point. So that's really the secondary target that you're fighting.
Yep. All right, so that's good. I'm happy about that. Let's move on to the tweaks and fixes. For this week, those seem sort of like tweaks and fixes. This next one is important to everybody who is a member. The loyalty point scheme in the loyalty store has been reevaluated with up to 40% drops in loyalty point costs. So if you've spent money on these or loyalty points since September 2nd, you'll be receiving a rebate very soon to reimburse you for some of these things. So you know how we said that bank boosters costed too much? Well, here's the fix for that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So I'm happy about that. And you know, I knew I was saving my loyalty points for some reason. I didn't spend any after this update. So I'm good to spend now that this change has been made.
Well, also keep in mind, Shane, they did say announced in a couple weeks that they will release a rebate for those who spent loyalty points to buying stuff in the first place. So you won't get a refund back.
Yeah, that's good, but still. I mean, it's better to have your money on you.
It's going to take a while.
Then wait for it to come back, right?
Yeah, it's going to take a while, but you'll get your money back.
Alrighty. Now, this next one is something that needed to happen ever since degradable items came out. All degradable items will degrade by 20% on death when they would go to your gravestone. So this means that, for example, Barrow's items will now only degrade by 20%. They won't degrade completely. I think we're all happy about that.
Hmm.
Yes?
Okay.
Yes? No? Maybe so?
Sure.
Okay. Also, degradable items that convert...
I haven't used any degradable armor in, honestly, years. Last one I used was Guthin, but I haven't used that in a while.
Yeah, well... Carl's is still my main ranged armor set. So, anyways, also degradable items that convert to coin when drop or that are saved from your gravestone do not lose charge in this way. So, if you have something that will turn into a coin drop, don't expect it to degrade like this, but only ones that remain. So, that's good. And all items, including degradable items, are now correctly stored in the gravestone. So, that's good. Apparently there were some issues with that. I actually noticed it on what was that quest name? Not the last one, the one before the horrible dwarven quest. Birthright of the Dwarves. In fighting that, I actually noticed that some of my stuff wasn't my barrow stuff. My degradable barrows items weren't being sent to my gravestone properly when I died in that fight. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Righty, anything from the patch notes that jumps out at you this week?
It seems to be a quick patchy thing. Only thing I can see mentioning right now is that Metamorphosis and Sunshine now share ability cooldowns, so just heads up for those who are going to be mages.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's just... move on to the top trumps. This is a little interesting thing that I saw, and very odd that they're doing something like this. So, card games are awesome. So, does this mean there's going to be like a RuneScape card game?
Maybe.
They're going to be themed around the monsters of RuneScape. They know which ones are going in there. And 15 character cards have been selected by the RuneScape team, but the remaining 15 will be down to the player vote. So 30 NPCs will be put in each day for the next 15 days. The winner of this will make it into the pick. So the first one for today on the 25th is Calphite King versus Calphite Queen. I voted for Calphite Queen.
Yeah, he is more powerful.
You mean she?
It.
Yes, I said queen. But the reason I chose the Calphite Queen is just because there's more history there. That was one of the very first RuneScape 2 high-level NPCs that wasn't the KBD that was put into games. So I think the Calphite Queen deserves to go in here just because it has that legacy over something like the Calphite King. Currently, there's 3,000 votes, and the Calphite King is winning by 57%.
Hmm.
All right.
Okay. Which one are you gonna pick? I'm just gonna flip the coin and see which one wins.
Alrighty.
Don't really care for it either.
And finally, for this week's behind the scenes video, a little video from ModMark covering some questions on the updates of the month so far. So he goes into things like prestige and missing presumed death. Interesting tidbit came out of this is that Death, the Grim Reaper, was actually the first human to die on Gelenor. So that kind of raises an interesting question that I was discussing with Earth earlier. Is he one of the people from the meeting history quest? Because you remember, in that quest, we went back to see the first humans who arrived, right?
Which one?
In meeting history.
What was that one again?
That was where we went back in time to visit the first people that came to this land.
Was that during the Guthic Sleep Twin?
No, meeting and remember. Making history. Remember those two quests, the sequel to those two?
Nope.
No? Oh, nope. Okay. Well, anyways, that was an interesting question that came up from that. Is Death one of those people? That might be something to think about if we could replay quests and go see those two quests again. But anyways, the other thing I took out of this is that Jagex does seem to be taking more of a direction of the players, leading the way the game is going to go. They mentioned in 2014 there's going to be some more polls, the same way that they kind of did with Prestige, which I'm sure everybody knows how I feel about that by now, but I don't like the way that feels, but we'll see how it turns out. All right. Anything else?
No, not really. We got to do live is behind the scenes, but people can go take a look at it themselves.
Alrighty. Well, let's start with questions then. First one's an audio question from Ramska.
Hello, Shane and Tricky. How you doing? Baramska here. I was just recently calculating what I need to get 99 farming, and I noticed we still can't plant elder trees yet. Do you think it's too big to grow in the tree plot? Since the recent update was just to really fill out the blanks. And also, one more question. Shane, God forbid you die or something unfortunately happens. What will happen to the podcast? We all know Mike will look after the website. But yeah, what would happen to the podcast and the RuneScape PA? Anyway, so I'll talk to you next time. Where I'm scared out.
Alright, the Elder Tree. I would like to have that in my farming routine. But the thing is, my guess, I haven't heard any official stance on this yet. I don't think it would be too big to put in a tree patch. You just need to fit the main stump in there, right? But I think the reason we don't have the elder trees in farming is because just that reason. They're elder trees, which means they're very old, and it's probably very, very hard to find seeds for those, right? So I don't see where we would get those seeds from. With the tree being so old, what's to say it's going to be able to produce a seed, right? And remember, we're chopping these seeds down, or the trees down, rather. We're not chopping the tree, we're just chopping the branches. So that's my theory on that. You have any other theories pertaining to that?
Pertaining to that? Well, they're old elder trees, so they're magical trees somehow. So they probably can't find any seeds because their roots disappear.
Yep. Yeah, and like I said, that's probably the reason why. And that is a rather morbid thought there, Muramska. What would happen to the show if such a person would die? I'm kind of wondering why you're thinking that, because that is a bit concerning. So, but I think if that would happen, I think we would have bigger problems to worry about, so I'm not going to entertain that question. So I think the answer is obvious.
Okay.
All right. Next question is from 101 Duck 1.
Greetings, fair hosts. This is 101 Duck 1 here with some questions. But before I start with that, on the last show, Earth mentioned a certain misspelling of my username. Am I correct in presuming the error may have included a modern term used to describe an extremity exclusively found on the male sex? To be honest, I've done that before frequently. anyhow, my question this week is about PvP and the next world event. With the end of Missing Presumed Death, my guess is that the next world event involves us fighting for a chosen god. Considering Jagex has also said there will be a PvP aspect in the event, I find the scenario highly likely. What I'd like to ask is, if the next world event involves PvP in such an important way, will you still participate? Also, do you think something like this might possibly revive the thriving PvP community that existed years ago? Well, thanks for your time, guys. Have an awesome week.
All right. First off, answer to the part of the question, no, that was not what the typo was. It was something else. It was a different word that looked the same. You guys can figure it out what it is. So moving on from that, PvP in the next world event. This is actually something I've been thinking about recently. Is PvP in the modern day of RuneScape something that exists? And if it does exist, how does it work? Who knows what's going on with PvP? I mean, with the whole evolution combat thing, there are huge amounts of combinations of things you could put together, I imagine. I mean, just with 12 different abilities and the way the combat system works, I'm sure you could come up with some innovative things. So I have been thinking about this for a bit, and I will be participating in it. The question is just how much PvP will be required, because my biggest problem with combat in this game, specifically to a point where it requires sharp fingers and quick reaction time, is that your connection to the game is really out of your control. So there's no way to know if you're going to be able to eat or not, because the game does require a server response for eating a piece of food or activating a certain combat ability. So if you get a bit of a lag spike, you're kind of messed up. And also the fact that the tick rate is so low, that's kind of annoying as well. That's my two biggest complaints as to why I don't, or rather are not interested in PVM in RuneScape. But yeah, I'll probably have a look at it. And I think it'll be a good learning experience for all of us with PvP, because I haven't PvP'd since way back when, in 2006. Back then, we used to do weekly RSBNB PvP trips. We actually had a couple of serious PvPers on staff, and they would take us out into the wilderness, and we would go hunt down some people. We very rarely ever got kills, but it was still fun nonetheless. My biggest reward from that was a rune kite shield.
Nice.
So, your turn.
PvP? I don't know. I never really PvP. I PvP back in RLS Classic because I wanted to explore it, but that was it. I didn't do much PvP myself. what I think about the probably adding new PvP. I mean, I think that was a good idea, get people interested, and I think it's also a good way to really test builds. You don't really get to currently. You don't really get to test builds because you're fighting monsters. Monsters don't respawn. You need another human person, and that's what dueling kind of comes in. But it's kind of a little bit restricted, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, remember how much fun we had when EOC came out testing all the abilities and whatnot?
We were, all of us were in your house or my house, we were boxing each other trying to see what would happen.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is something to be explored here, and I guess that's a reason that Jagex is doing this. In one of the Q&As they did recently, they said they want to do more on PvP, but they don't necessarily understand modern PvP yet. And for me, that's something I'd like to look into as well, because PvP in the old RuneScape was just a really who could click faster and get off a dragon dagger special, which, I mean, yeah, okay, that kind of works, but still you're governed by server lag and whatnot. So one of the reasons I don't like it. And there's actually a bit more skill involved now, and that might be exactly why some of these old diehard PvPers disappeared. So it's definitely something to look into, and Jagex probably is doing this with the world event for that reason. So, good question. Anything else on that one?
Anything else on this one? Not really. I think we kind of hunker everything in. We'll see what Jagex has in mind and move from there.
Alrighty. Alright, so the next one is from Veteran. Hey, hosts. I wish to get 70 plus in all skills. My only skill that isn't 70 plus is thieving at level 67. Yet I feel demotivated when trying to train it. How do you train skills that you don't like? Other than bonus XP lamps from the Squeal of Fortune, cough, Dungeoneering Chain, cough. Thanks. Veteran.
You get someone else to drag you.
Huh?
You get someone else to drag you to do the skill.
Buddy system. You could do that. One of the things that's always motivated me to train a skill that I don't have is a certain skill requirement for something else in game. So, for example, if something were to come out that you didn't have the requirement for, like, for example, when the seeds came out for this latest farming update, I didn't have 90 thieving yet, so I couldn't exactly steal successfully from the elves, and I wanted to be able to get these seeds without having any major problems. So basically I set myself the goal of getting 90 thieving, which also had the corollary of fully unlocking the player-owned ports. So my suggestion to you would be to find some sort of an update that you want to strive for, and that will enable you to get it. So, as an example, there's a certain quest out there at level 70 thieving, which is Do No Evil, which is the quest in which you set up the monkey colony in the desert. So that quest requires level 70 thieving, and when you're done, it also unlocks the monkey knife fighters, which are very, very good thieving experience. So the idea would be is that you would take your current thieving level and level it up to 70, and you would get your requirement out of the way for that quest, and you would get to accomplish that quest, which is a good quest in itself. You would also get access to the monkey knife fighters for faster thieving XP. So that would be your two reasons for leveling up thieving to level 70. As to how to go about that, I don't know. I forget what I did way back when to level thieving up to that level. What would that have been back in the olden days?
Mm-hmm. Back in the olden days, it was Rogue's pickpocket, Den? Guards, paladins, the mace.
Oh, the mace I know what it was. Desert bandits.
Ah, right.
Yeah, desert bandits. Basically, what you would do is you get your blackjack, knock the bandit out, and thieve them. which you can find them in the desert. Of course, Polivnenich is the place to go, or the bandit camp. You can do that, and that should be an easy way to get from 67 to 70 thieving with relatively little fuss. And I got a funny story, actually, about dungeoneering later, but we'll save that until the What Have We Been Doing section. So,
okay.
All right, you have anything else on this one?
Okay. My advice, you may want to try Pyramid Plunder. That's a little nice place to get some thieving experience in. You get a little gold on the side as well. You can, let's see, what's another, what's another thing you can do on your time? I know, I remember doing a lot of paladins back in my day. I used to pickpocket paladins quite a bit. Let's see, we were what, 70? Well, they're 70, but let me see, what did I used to do around that level? Oh, I got the Master Farmer, there we go. So I can, you can trap the farmer and start pickpocketing him at around level 60s, in the 60s, which is really good.
Oh yeah, that works. Good way to
get some seeds and
level up farming if you haven't done that already.
Put on some Gloves of Silence and have an Ardonia cape and you're good. You get some decent seeds too, and those you don't want, you can chuck them. Those you want, keep them. Actually, guys, really a lot better if you get all the equipment at like level 90 or so. You basically never fail against him.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Okay. Next question. You can take this one. Sorry.
Yeah, is this why you took the first one?
Maybe.
Okay, this question from Parnassius. Hi, Shane and Tricky. With the players not looking at the overall big picture of the game and voted no for the prestige poll, do you think Jagex will abandon the idea altogether? Or will they redesign it and try to educate the masses on the benefits it can have on the longevity of the game? With the vote being no, perhaps it's time to revisit the idea of 120 in all skills. It would not need every single skill at once, but introduce it bit by bit over time. First do combat skills, and slowly to do the others. Wood cutting, fletching, and fire making together, then mining and smithing, etc. Until they are all at level 120. I personally don't have any desire to train skills over 99 once the max goal has been set, and I know a lot of others feel that way. I am not interested in 200 mil XP for anything, but the actual levels were raised, and I would want to continue training. This will also allow Jagex to keep reworking how certain skills can be trained and bring them into the game. Love to hear your thoughts on this. Once again, thanks for the great weekly podcast. Keep keeping us informed on the happenings in the game. All the best, Parnassius. All right, well, thing I have to say, though, Shane kind of did his old monologue thing last week, so if you want to know what he thinks of it, just listen to the last podcast.
I think he knows what I think. Based on the question for this, and this also came from this week's BTS video with Mark, where he did say that they are looking at different ways of kind of implementing this, so it's not something that's going to disappear entirely, so we got to keep that in mind. They said they are going to look at different ways of doing it. I do agree. I think 120 in all skills would be interesting. It's just some skills would be harder to do than others. Like you mentioned, combat would be easy. It's just a question of how do you come up with enough content for something like farming, for example. Slayer, you would basically be looking at a Slayer expansion, which would be interesting because remember how long it took for the first people to reach 85 for the Abyssal Whip?
We didn't
imagine
that
we could do that again
for a good long time,
huh?
No one knew that existed until the first adventurers tried them out. It's like, hey,
yeah,
this
exactly.
is a decent weapon.
So, I mean, Slayer would be a fun one to do that for. It's just the amount of time it would take to go into each skill to do this would be hard. So, I mean, I like the idea, but we'll have to see what else is coming down the pipeline. And I do believe that Jagex will come out with something for people who are high levels and fully got 99 in these skills. It's just a matter of what. And, you know, I totally do agree with you on the statement, players not looking at the overall big picture of the game and voting no on this. So, point well taken there. And, yeah, agree. Something will need to happen with this in the future. What about you? You never really said what you think of the whole prestige thing, and would you prefer to have it or the 120 option, as Parnassius mentioned, or something else that Jagex could potentially be working on?
Oh, I have no real thoughts on this thing. You and Earth beat it to heck. So if you guys want to know, want to debate prestige and all its glory, just listen to the last podcast.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I don't know what you're saying on this. 120 in all skills? I don't think that's actually going to work out. I can't see a lot of people wanting to smith for another 10 years to get to 120.
Yeah, and smithing would be one of the hard ones, because you got to remember that rune is totally useless right now. Mm-hmm. So you got to keep that in mind. Is that really something that should be 99, or should we be going on before that?
Actually, you know, I wouldn't mind if they actually, if we were to do smithing and all that stuff, if they did a huge Citadel update. I just feel like most people use Citadel just to gain some skills, and that's about it. Could use a nice giant update.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Yep. I'm right, done Shane. With that one.
Alright, your turn. Thanks, Parnassius. Shane, will you take the next one then?
Alrighty. This next one's from Jason MRC. Have you ever thought of starting a new character, Farmer Shane, to get 99 farming in? Why or why not? Well, I have actually thought about this in the past, way back when, in 07, actually, prior, just after getting 99 farming the first time. I actually did think about that because I thought that would be kind of fun, but, it is an option at some point in the future, but there is something that was said last year in the Q&A for RuneScape 3, and that was that multiple characters would be one of the features of RS3. And, you know, this character, multiple character thing didn't exactly arrive with RS3, so I'm holding out that something like that will happen in the future. So it's not that I don't want to make a new character just to do it. It's just that they said multiple characters would be coming with RS3. It didn't. So I'm wondering if that will be an option in the future. So that's kind of why I'm holding back right now. And, you know, I personally think it would be kind of fun to have the challenge of doing this without any combat at all. But then there's the whole thing of redoing quests again. And, I mean, that would be interesting, but hard to say.
Hmm.
I want to wait for the multiple characters thing first.
Okay.
Alrighty, next up. Do you think alts or skillers have lessened the use in popularity over the past few years, or have they remained the same? How often do you see a skiller? By skiller, I'm referring to someone who has Forsaken Combat and does only skills, skill peer.
I don't think it's disappeared. I think lots of people still do it. I think there's something to put a little goal for them to achieve. I actually have a skiller in my clan, and she has 99 prayer at level 4. So you can imagine how much training she did in burying bones and everything else to get to 99 with staying at level 4, and she's very skill oriented. I've also met another person a way while back that was going for 99 Slayer without actually doing any combat. That's going to take him a couple of years to do it.
Yeah, but kind of, you know, be interesting.
Each one has their own way of playing the game, and you know, remember, you decide what your character does. If you want to do it, go for it. I don't think it's lessened. I think it's still popular now. No, it still has a little bit of the wow factor of, ooh, you're level 3, you have 99 and so many things.
But there's a slight problem. There's a slight problem with skill peers now. You want to know what that is?
Okay. Shoot. Go for it.
You can't tell if someone's a skill peer unless they're in combat. because nowadays it shows the skill level if you're not in combat. It only shows your combat level if you're doing combat. So there's no way to tell if someone's level 4 without looking them up. So that's, in my view, what skill pairs used to be. You would see someone walking around with a Herblore cape, for example, and having having combat level 3. So that's the thing. You can't tell anymore.
Actually, you can if they wanted you to. It's how? You know how you have that button that you can minimize your little action bar? If you right-click on it,
right.
You have the option of sheathing or unsheathing your weapon, and that actually determines if you display your combat or your skill total.
Really?
It's a little yeah, but it's hard to do on yourself because you can't see it, but
how
you
did
can
it
have the ability to
so
switch.
You right-click the mid... Oh! How come I just found out about this?
It's a little less known thing that no one really cares about. Me and I remember long, like when this first came out, me and Reed were trying to figure out like what this thing did, and we finally, after a while, I was trying clicking so many times, we just looked at each other like, "How'd you do that?" And he kind of, "Oh, okay," and that was it.
I had no idea that existed.
Like I said, it's a little. It's actually very annoying in Dungeoneering because a couple of times I got a couple of level. I had some people who had like pretty high skill total, but they're like level 3. I was like, oh great, because I didn't go in and take a look into their combat skills. Otherwise, I'd kick them off already. But it's too late.
Oh, that must be annoying.
No, just one guy was just being a turd.
All right.
It was
well, you learn something new every day. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Alright.
I guess I'll take the last one. Peace out, Jason. And you don't have to give questions to me. It's okay, Jason. I don't mind. You saved me from talking. Okay, this last question is from Flash. Dear host, do you feel that minigames are dead nowadays? I think about this the other day, and I've noticed that most of the minigames in RS are barely played anymore or not played at all. I miss the days of playing minigames such as Soul Wars and Fist of Guthix, which are now abandoned completely. What do you think is the reason for this, Flash? Reason? Simple. Minigames don't long give combat experience if you kill another person.
Yep.
And
I'd agree with that.
That's what killed it.
And
nowadays,
I mean,
every single... All right, go ahead.
No, you finish.
Well... Every day nowadays, it's you have to get either experience from killing monsters or from the tokens that you get at the end. That's not what made Soul Wars and Castle Wars and Fist of Guthix and what was the other one that we ought to do? There was one more, I can't remember which one it was. That's not what made them so
pest
popular.
Control.
It was because, you kill monsters in Pest Control, you still get experience from it. But... You can kill other people, you don't get any experience. And that's what it really hurt, because people did Soul Wars because it was such a great way to get combat experience and have some fun and kill people and, you know, get all extra at the end. Now you don't get any extra at the end. You just do it, hope you win. If you win, you have a chance of hybrid armor. If you don't have a chance, if you don't win it, too bad. Try again, and that's basically it. You just spend everything on tokens, which... You know, like back then, I used to, I wanted to level up magic, and I went to Soul Wars with lots of runes and stuff and started maging people, and, you know, it worked out for me. I got some decent magic experience and some prayer experience because I traded the tokens for it. And it worked out for me. I had fun, but I think Castle Wars is still relatively active. Soul Wars is somewhat active, although not to a degree it was before.
Yeah.
I bet you if they ever, but, you know. I think so. Nowadays, it's more of like Soul Wars is just all about 100, the full 200 combat people and trying to use up all their summoning pouches. Actually, summoning now is really useless in PvP. In PvP.
Yep.
They die really quick in mobs.
Yeah. I think Castle Wars is still active because it's the original classic minigame. The other ones, though, I completely agree, are lacking in people. The reason being, I think, is what you said due to first things first, not being able to get XP there. But also, secondly, the rewards you get from the just are not great for the high-level people who sometimes want to play these. You got to remember that most of the rewards from Castle Wars, Fist of Guthix especially, Soul Wars, are geared towards lower-level players. Now, the people who want to play these are probably higher levels like you and me who remember them from the back in the olden days. So we don't play them because the rewards we get are bad. So there's that. And this affects the people who want to play them at when they're at their lower levels, like the people just leveling up, because there's no one to play them with. So in a way, it's a self-defeating type aspect of the game, is that the games don't get played because the rewards aren't good. And the reason the rewards aren't good is because they just don't get enough attention from the higher level people. So we're in a bit of a cyclical thing here for what the problem is. So, I mean, it would be nice to have mini games that would be reworked and could give combat experience and items that are geared towards your level, but that's just not going to work like that. Because even before EOC came out, Fist of Guthix was really, really only used by players leveling up in the probably 40 to 70 range. So, I mean, even now, there's really no point to play that minigame. So something does need to be addressed about this, and this is a good, keen observation that was made and probably has been needed to be made for the better part of the last 2 years. So...
I think this should give a little... I mean, remember, if you lose, you don't get much experience from it either, so that just sucks more life out of you. And the only way you can really win is to have a lot of high-level players on your team who have a lot of special abilities. But then again, if you can't get...
You don't want to get one-shotted.
It's also one of those things where, like, high-level people aren't going to bother with it because I have everything. There's no point in doing it unless I'm going for the hybrid armor, which takes forever to get.
So, I mean, just... Castle Wars, you're playing Castle Wars for your completionist cape requirement of 5,000 Castle Wars games.
That's going to take forever.
Yeah. Anyways, so maybe higher level rewards for these games would be in order. So. Alrighty, I am done with this one.
Okay.
Alright, so before we move on to tech news, just remember you can send those audio questions in, like 101 Duck and Maremska did. In order to do that, just email them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail on Skype at the username rsbnbupdate. No punctuation, no spaces. And finally, if you live in the U.S., you can phone them in to the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. All right. Let's move on. Oops. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. So tech news. Apple updated a bunch of stuff this week, didn't they?
If you say so.
Anybody in your household want an iPad Air?
Unless you're going to buy one for me, Shane, no.
Okay. Well, a whole bunch of Apple-type things came out this week. The iPad Air, the updated iPad Mini with a Retina display, new Macs across the board. But perhaps the most interesting thing that happened was the new version of the operating system, OS X Mavericks, was released for a price of zero, a.k.a. it's free. So basically, this is, I think, ushering in the era of free software on the PC. What do you think?
What do I think? Well, let's see. Well, let's see what Microsoft's going to do. now the game's in their court to see, all the ball's in their court to see how they're going to kind of try and fight this.
I mean, it's something I think that's been coming for a while with Apple, because if you look at it, the desktop version of their word processor is only $20 per application, $60 total. That same version on iOS is only $30 for the entire set, which is actually free now on both platforms if you buy a new computer or a new iPhone. So there's more free software right there. So Apple's pretty much made all of its software free. for existing users and new users entirely, including the operating system itself. Now, you can argue that spending on a computer means you're purchasing the OS, which is true, but there's still something to be said about software as a force of sales, which, like you said, is going to be very interesting for Microsoft, because if you don't have Windows 8 regular and you want to upgrade to Windows 8.1, you still got to pay the $129 for Windows 8.1. So Microsoft is deciding what's next, and if they want to be in the same court, they could make Windows free for consumers. I mean, that would be the logical thing for them to do. It would make a lot of people happy. They could finally get rid of that whole activation thing that dings more legitimate users than illegitimate users, I must say. You ever been dinged by that, the whole Windows activation thing?
Nope.
Really?
I pirate. I get around that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice to know. But anyways, yeah, I've had problems in the past with Windows activation not working on legitimate hardware and everything like that. So, I mean, it would just really make things nicer for the consumer and show that Microsoft is in this same market as Apple for shipping software. But I don't think Microsoft will do that, and it'll probably be their loss. I bet they would have more people using Windows if it was actually free. And if Microsoft's business is transitioning to the devices and services thing, there's no reason why they can't make Windows free. So that's the story of the week for me in tech news. It's not that new hardware came out or an iPad Air or a new iPad Mini. It's that Apple released an operating system for free.
Mm.
So, and in a way, this has been kind of pushed with the whole smartphone age, because, you know, we don't pay for updates on the smartphones now. We do. We don't pay for new versions of iOS, Android, or Windows Mobile. So keep that in mind, right?
Mm.
The only real thing I'm concerned about, tell me if you think this is a legitimate concern, is that for people who write software and want to sell software, it's going to devalue that software.
Well, you basically know more of this stuff than I do.
Basically, the question is how can a software developer now charge more than 99 cents for an application if an entire OS is free? $5 at the high end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's just something interesting to ponder. If you use a Mac, or even if you don't use a Mac, tell me what you think about having free software. It's definitely a new era on iOS. So, I mean, OS 10 for that matter. All right, so next up, Google's banner ads. What do you think of this picture we have here?
Southwest thing?
Yeah.
The Southwest airline?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw it earlier in the week.
Yeah, so
perfectly. I don't care.
Yeah, so you're saying it's fine. You can just scroll past that, right?
Well, let's also look what they're looking up. What are
Southwest
they looking up,
Airlines?
Shane? So, if you're looking up for the company, wouldn't it make sense to have a picture of the company on their page? I mean, you're not looking for Southwest because you want to know what's happening in the Southwest of the U.S.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of begging the it's trying to beg the question is like, oh, if we put banner ads, well, you search for the company, you click on the link, it'll take you to the company with the exact same picture anyway.
Yeah,
it's like looking for the United States Postal Office, go on the website and see their logo. Of course, you're gonna see it. It's rather stupid for you to be complaining.
I mean, you see an ad for a company you're looking for, which is fine, I think. But the point is that it's so big, I guess. But like you say, you're looking for it, so does it really matter? I don't know. Like, I haven't seen this yet on my Google, probably because I'm using the Canada version. But I don't know how probably I feel about such a big ad. I think that's it. Like, the ad itself is fine because you're looking for it. It's relevant and targeted. But does it have to be so big that the rest of the results are on another page when you scroll down?
me take a look at let me see. Trying to take a look at IE right now. I just looked it up in Southwest Airlines on Firefox, and it has a logo, small little logo. It doesn't see the banner ad, but logo is there, and it's, okay, I don't understand why people are complaining about the banner ad like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I don't see the banner ad yet anywhere, but maybe later on.
Yeah, I mean,
again,
I have no...
looking for the company.
Yeah, I have no problem with the ad, and it's fine that it's there. It's just big. That's all.
Well, it catches your eye. Now, look. Now, what you need to do is zoom. It's a print screen it. Not print screen it. Yeah, print screen it and go into Adobe and look for some subliminal messages. Probably dollar bill somewhere on the ground or somewhere.
That's funny.
Yeah, you ever saw that Jack in a Box commercial?
No, we don't have that here, remember?
Not Jack in a Box, KFC. Not Jack in a Box, KFC. KFC was running a commercial a couple of years ago, and those that had TiVo noticed that there was a dollar bill stuck to the sandwich for that, pretending to be a piece of lettuce at the end. It's on YouTube, look it up, it's real.
So subliminal message that it's time to pay.
Pay the buck, because it costs a buck.
Okay. Alrighty then. Well, let's move on from that to something we've been talking about a bit before, the Twitter IPO. The price for Twitter has been announced. They want to sell the share price at around $17 to $20 in the IPO, which is half of what Facebook had, so maybe they're taking some sort of lesson off that, could be. But this means that the company would raise around $1.3 billion and Twitter would be valued at $10 billion with 70 million shares. Hard to believe that Twitter could be worth that much.
Now let's see how they'll innovate to make investors more money. That will be the interesting part.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't care. Don't tweet.
I think Twitter's heading towards an ad platform rather than a messaging platform, because if you think about it, there's all these messages flying around and you can contextualize this to provide ads. So that would be their next logical step. Google does the ads for search based on what you're looking at in a greater pool of the internet, whereas Twitter monetizes what people are talking about. That's the direction they're going to want to head with these shareholders. So... yeah, going to be interesting. I'm not going to buy any of these.
Well, you and I are poor students. Well,
yeah,
we're poor adults. So, you know.
But even then, huge amount of share price is quite a bit. So.
I must say, if I could have bought Google, if I had the opportunity to buy Google when it first went public, I would. I'd be a freaking millionaire, but couldn't buy it. So, too bad for me.
Yeah,
wanted to, couldn't do it.
This is definitely going to usher in a new era of stock market trading. The company that started off with posting what you're doing at the instant, whether you be on the toilet or eating lunch, and then posting pictures, is now going public. I think it's safe to say we never thought we'd see something like this happen.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about you, Shane, but I don't feel like telling people that I'm on the can.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that needs to happen. So, anyways, let's move on, shall we?
Okay.
Alrighty, sure. So skill of the month, October. It's still crafting out there. Currently... Soul Lightning is still in first place with 5.2 million experience gained. Poison Nova has made a real push in these last 20 days of the month or so, or rather 15 days, forgive me, to take second with 4 million experience. We got just under a week left, so it'll be interesting to see if Soul Lightning stays flat and Poison Nova can catch him, but it's looking like it definitely could shape up to be a race between those two at the top. And rounding out the race for third, we got Lord Rickles at 1.37 million experience, Flash at 1.33, and Earth at 1 million experience. So I know Earth was mentioning last week that he had planned to try and take third, but it doesn't look like he's begun that operation yet. So let's just see if he's able to pull that off. But looks like the race for third will be interesting.
Okay. Good luck, everyone.
Yes, indeed. Next up, our Informer article of the week, the 3 in RuneScape 3, written by yours truly, HTML5, so talking about what's happening in the HTML5 client of the game, basically how it started off with such promise that we're going to launch this groundbreaking technology, once again putting RuneScape in your browser with a brand new piece of technology into RuneScape 3. But having issues with related to performance and a whole swath of other things that this has been pushed back and still remains a beta as to date. But nonetheless, the future is still strong. You can have a read through this on the Informer website, informer.rsbnb.com.
Cool.
Alrighty, our achievements of the week. What do we got?
We got Poison Nova, who got 99 crafting on October 23rd. That might be why he's second place.
Oh, that could be why. Yeah, congratulations. And the next one.
And we have last Lino, who got 99 Herblood on October 20th. Congrats, both of you.
Woo, good job. Two nice skills to have 99 in.
I'm close to 98 Herblood, though.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. So, you have a pick, it seems.
Found this little gem on my daily browsing of the internet, and it's from the New York Times. It's a little interactive video describing all the how high-rises were made throughout history, starting from the old mud huts all the way down to...
What'd you say? Yes, mud hugs? Yes.
Hucks. I'm thinking of Huck. H-U-K. It started from the mud huts all the way down to what we have now in New York, Hong Kong, etc., Dubai. It's a nice little video, so you can kind of explore how architect has really evolved over over the centuries.
All right. So it's interactive?
Yeah, you know, just watch a little video and then move around and see a couple
things. How can I turn the sound off?
You know, I don't think there is a way to turn the sound off.
All right, well, we'll close this for now then. So, that's good. Architecture is always something that's interesting to see how things are put together. I mean, having buildings that go up 500 meters in the air, half a kilometer, even higher ones now that go through all the way through the clouds. So, yeah, definitely have a look at that. Some of the engineering in Dubai is pretty amazing, given that a good portion of that city is built on generated land that used to be ocean.
Oh, yes, the retail safe with the world palm trees and whatnot. You actually Google Earth that. It's actually quite interesting.
The retail safe, or
no? Dubai, the Prince of Dubai a couple years ago, or I guess in this case about a decade ago, decided to make prime real estate in the ocean by having land made out of sand, and we build houses on it. And we shaped like the world, like a palm tree and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
You actually Google Earth it. It's actually quite nice.
I mean, you can see it from space, right?
I don't know. Never been up there. You've been up there, Shane? Let me know.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it from space. I haven't actually been up there, but yeah, like you can see it on the satellite and whatnot. It's one of the most distinctive features, actually. There's two of them, a big one and then a little bit of a smaller one. Actually, it's interesting to note that Dubai's neighbor across the Persian Gulf is actually Iran. So... yeah, let's just say lots of very interesting things could happen in that stretch of water.
Yes, the Prince of Dubai.
Alrighty. Just a reminder to everybody to vote in that quick poll that I had earlier, because I want to see what we think of results for whether people prefer armor to be released like this or just have it dropped by the various NPCs. So let us know.
Okay.
What you been up to?
What I've been up to? I actually spent Monday a relatively decent amount of time on RS. Did one or two dungeoneering runs. I managed to get 97 fire making this week from Citadel. Did a little bit of divination and touched my hand on Slayer, but not as much as I would like, because I need to find a co-op partner for the Ascension members. Yeah, that's about it. Did my usual port chores, and yeah, that's it. So I'm close, thanks to ports, I'm pretty close to 98 Herbler.
Good. As for me this week, just basically been doing some range training, trying to get some of these scales, but no luck, as I mentioned earlier. So 95 Slayer might also be in the works for me as well at some point. That'll be a hard stretch to push, given that the levels really, really start to space themselves out with that. But aside from that, just been doing the occasional checkup on the ports and my daily sinkholes, which is really quite amusing. because I've went from 85 to 87 dungeoneering in the span of about 3 weeks doing just sinkholes.
Yay. Sinkholes.
Those sinkholes are OP. They give far too much dungeoneering experience.
Only if you level up with it first.
Well, no,
it's for
I
people
mean,
like you who don't want to get dungeoneering.
Yeah, I know, but they give just too much XP. Like, I got 70,000 experience from this one sinkhole because I got two lamps, whatever, a huge one and a medium one or something like that. I don't know what it was, but yeah, huge amounts of XP. Really, really too much, I think. So, but the tokens are nice nonetheless. That's the main reason I do it. I always go for the token batch because I'm going for my charm collector. So, currently at about 71k tokens, so only 29k left to go. So that's nice.
I was a jerk to someone for it before I got the huge. I was first place, got a huge lamp. Then that guy before me decided to steal mine, searching with this medium one. I was like, no, took it back. Don't ever do that to me again. He was not happy that I took my huge lamp back, gave him a small one.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of the sinkholes, actually, is the whole random chance thing about how it redisperses the chests at the end, and then you get these cards to play, and you can be mean to people if you want. So I quite enjoy that. I don't know why, I just love random games of chance so much. So, anyways, I think that's it for this episode. Anything else we need to mention?
No, I think that pretty much covers everything. There's not much to say. Be good in RS.
Alrighty, that's it. That's right. Be good, don't bot, and we'll see you next week, everyone.
Bye. Good luck with the scales.